trust that the song that we just sang, not the last one, but the one before, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. I trust that was each one's testimony. I hope that you were able to sing it. If you had a bad cold, I hope you're still able to whisper the words. We're so thankful that we have been redeemed, His child, and forever I am. It's a blessing that we cannot fully understand or appreciate, but we do appreciate it. Lord's blessing to each one this morning. Never know what the preacher has behind the pulpit, do you? So what do we have there? Okay, we have a tractor. We have a toy tractor. Anybody want to guess what kind it is? It says it, but it's in small print. So you have to go by the color or the shape. All right, it's a Ford. That's right, it's a Ford tractor. It says 640, and on the front there's a little emblem. And this tractor is called, this model is called the Ford Jubilee. It's a Jubilee model. Jubilee was introduced in 1953, and I think was available for a number of years after that. This one actually says it's a 1954, but it was introduced in 1953 because that was the 50-year mark after Ford Motor Company was founded. Ford Motor Company was founded in 1903, I believe. And so they named this model tractor a Jubilee, Golden Jubilee, in fact. And it was, of course, advertised as a very good tractor and a very powerful tractor. And we didn't have one at my home. I think our neighbor had one, and I think maybe my uncle had one. It was a pretty popular tractor back in those days. But I know you didn't expect me to come talk about tractors this morning or toys. I do enjoy tractors, and I suppose, how many of you boys are, everybody, how many of you just enjoy toys, toy tractors? Yeah, I do too. Sometimes if you can't have the real thing, you can at least have a toy. Huh? So yeah, they're interesting, but that's not what we came to talk about. But we'd like to talk a little about Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, and you'll find that first, I believe, mentioned in Leviticus 25, and you can turn to Leviticus 25. I know we're studying in Leviticus right now in Sunday school, but I looked, and I think that part is not, the part about the year of Jubilee is not really included in our lessons, and so I feel safe to talk about it some here this morning. Leviticus 25, I'm going to read just part of this chapter, but we'll read from 8 to 13, I believe, to start with. Leviticus 25, verse 8, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is a Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field, In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And now, going to verse 25. And if thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem it that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. Verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and he shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. In the Old Testament Jewish economy, the year of Jubilee was a time looked forward to by many people, for those that had fallen on hard times and had lost their property or had even sold themselves to serve another because they had no other resources. They had sold their freedom, and it could have been a few years, or it could have been quite a few. I guess theoretically it could have been 49 years. But it was a time to look forward to, because in the year of Jubilee, as we just read, you could be a free man. Plus, maybe the farm that you had lost was again returned to you. When I think of the year of Jubilee, I think of terms like release, return, restoration, rest, and jubilation. I think these would all be descriptive terms of the year of Jubilee. It was a great time, and it was a much greater thing than this Jubilee tractor. But what if last year, or the year before the year of Jubilee, so maybe it was going to be 47, 48, 49 years until the next one, and you suffered hard times, you suffered loss. Maybe you suffered loss almost as bad as Job did. Maybe fire had destroyed your barns. Weather had wiped out half your crops. Maybe you had made a poor investment financially. You were bankrupt. So all you could do was sell out and be your neighbor's hired hand. And 40 years would look pretty long, wouldn't it? 40 years to wait for release, restoration. We know that because of Israel's sin, they lost all of that when they were taken into captivity. But in the process of time, God again allowed some freedom from their captors. And we read about that in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. For the, The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdom of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. So we see that some of the Jewish people were set free here to go build the go to Jerusalem and build the temple. So that was a good time for them. January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a presidential proclamation and an executive order. The order was called the Emancipation Proclamation. It's changed the federal legal status for more than 3 million enslaved people in the designated areas of the South, from slave to free. And so that was a good time for those 3 million people. But one of the problems with these releases, with the release made in the year of Jubilee, it was only for the Hebrew people. That we see in Leviticus, also in Leviticus 25, verses 44 through 46, if you still have your Bible open to that chapter. 44 says, Both thy bondmen and thy bondsmen maids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them ye shall buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and ye shall be, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. So if you were not a Hebrew person and you were a servant, you were not able to look forward to this time of this year of Jubilee, because it did not include you. The freedom that was granted to the people in Ezra's day, Bible readers know that that was not without problems. They had quite a struggle to rebuild the walls in the temple, and had a lot of resistance. And the emancipation that Abraham Lincoln signed was actually only for the slaves in the rebellious states. So it was great for those people that lived in the South. The 3 million people are a little better. But what about the untold millions of other states and of other countries? We know that slavery was a problem of much further areas than just here in the South. So for these people, it was just continued slavery. These examples mostly concern physical and financial confinement, servitude, and those that it affected, the freedoms that came to pass because of the Jubilee and these proclamations that were signed. It was great for them, but for the others, it was you know, just life as usual. So we would like to look at a time of much greater freedom, a much greater year of Jubilee, much greater emancipation proclamation than those. And we have that in Isaiah 61, or we have it in Luke 4. And I think we'll read it from Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Spiritual year of Jubilee is the year 2018, a year of Jubilee. Yes, believe it is. Was the year of Jubilee back in AD 30 or 31, 32, whenever Jesus read this in the synagogue? I believe it was the year of Jubilee then also. And ever since, we don't have to wait for 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years to experience liberty. We can have it now. You know, we are sort of impatient people, and we like things now. And this is something that we can have now, liberty. Are you poor? Are you needy? Jesus came to bring the good news. Are you brokenhearted? Is your life torn apart? Jesus came to heal. Are you a captive, bound with many chains? Jesus came to set free. The acceptable year of the Lord. Sometimes we wonder, would this be a good year to maybe plant more soybeans? Or would it be a good year for cotton? And so we weigh the factors and we try and make a decision. Or maybe another things we think about, would next month be an acceptable time to maybe visit the Brethren at Sunshine? Or would it be better to wait until summertime when school is out? But then we have vocational Bible school. So when should we go? And so we can't find the perfect time, so we don't go. When it comes to spiritual freedom, I know we count the costs, we should, but it shouldn't take us long to realize a trade, beauty for ashes, sight for the blind, talks about in Isaiah 61, freedom for the captive. When can this happen? It can happen right now. It reminds me of the leper in Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." What an experience. So simple. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Can you imagine the feelings that went through the leper when he heard those words? Instant relief. When it comes to repentance, forgiveness of sins, accepting Jesus as Lord, it can happen right now. We don't have to wait for 30, 40 years, 49 years. It can happen right now. Yes, in the days to come, we prove whether we are real in our desires. But at the moment, if we are real, like the Philippian jailer, we are saved. Let's turn to that and read that story. It's such an exciting story. Acts 16, verses starting at verse 25, I believe. Acts 16, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Day or night is the accepted time of salvation. You know, I suspect that those Hebrews that we read about back in Leviticus that had met hard times and had lost their homes, lost their freedom, they knew when the year of Jubilee was coming. And they were probably making some plans, looking forward to that time. And that day, when that day came, I don't suppose there was any sleeping in and dragging out of the house at lunchtime. Turn with me to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, whom they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Three times it says here, today. Today is the day. So what are the requirements? For the Philippian jailer, he was told, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here in Hebrews, it was an evil heart of unbelief that kept some from entering into rest, into the promised land. In everyday life, if someone doubts our word, when they don't believe what we say, there's not a lot we can do. We might as well stop talking. But much more serious if a man doubts God's word. If he doesn't believe what he has said, there's little hope. Unbelief puts us outside. Fortunately, God has ways that he uses sometimes to show people where their unbelief is taking them. And they see their folly. This year is the year of Jubilee for all who believe. It's available to all who believe. A few scriptures showing us that salvation, freedom from sin, is for everyone. It's not for just a select group of people. not only a certain ethnic group, but for everyone. None is excluded. Towing this tractor, if it was a real one, you would have had to have finances. So that kept some people, I'm sure, from having a tractor like this. But lack of finances is not an issue when it comes to salvation. And Isaiah 55 brings that out. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This invitation to come and buy, even if we don't have money. Come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. His sacrifice was enough for every man, was made for every man. What an insult to Christ when we ignore that great sacrifice that was made for us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All inclusive. God is holy. He has the right to judge. He has the right to judge sinful man speedily. He doesn't need to give us the second, third, and more chances. But many times he does. He is long-suffering. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Invitation is to all come. After we come to Jesus, then what? We saw the Philippian jailer believed and was baptized. We know from our readings that Paul himself made a 180-degree turnaround. Not like the former blind man's testimony in John 9, 25, verse 25, it says, part of the verse says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. There was no question. There was a change in this man's life. He was blind, and now he could see. And there will be a change in every person's life when they truly meet Jesus. In Acts 26, Paul preached to the people that they should repent, turn to God, and do the works meet for repentance. John the Baptist preached the same. Matthew 7:20, I believe it is. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Look at some of these verses here about fruits. I think we'll read verse 13 through 21 to start with. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye do bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say Then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 13 speaks of liberty, and I believe it's talking about this liberty from the ceremonial law. I hope I'm not doing violence to the scripture to think on it a little broader than that. When we have experienced liberty from the oppressive slavery of being a servant of Satan to the glorious freedom and liberty of being a child of God, when we experience that, we need to be showing fruits in our life. One of the fruits is by love serve one another, loving our neighbor as ourself. When we're busy bearing good fruit, we need to keep a sharp eye out for disease, insects, birds. You crop farmers know that, you gardeners know that, to produce good fruit, good vegetables, good produce, you need to be alert. Same way in our spiritual life, we need to be alert to things that would come in and destroy our capacity for bearing good fruit. Lust of the flesh. And then we have the whole list. And if we would see one of these diseases starting to affect us, we need to hurry to the one that has the remedy. We need to fall on our knees and confess our failure. And we had the verse, I think it was the theme verse or memory verse for our Sunday school lesson this morning in the adult class. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We need that provision, don't we? God is so gracious to make that provision for us because we do find ourselves in that need, that position. Let's continue reading here in Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Fruit of the Spirit is wholesome, it's attractive. Compare this list with the list in verse 19 through 21. Put the works of the flesh in a bowl and the fruit of the Spirit in another bowl. One is a delight to set before our guests. The other needs to be discarded of quickly before the sight and the smell sickens us. I was pondering on this after this descriptive list that Paul listed for us, the fruits of the Spirit, all these pleasant things. And I know the chapter divisions are put in by man, but I'll just say at the end of the chapter then it's put in, why does Paul do this? He still feels like he needs to give us some more instruction. Says there in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I suppose he put that in because we need it. Need to be reminded of it. Some of the things that are listed up there in verse 19 through 21, we wouldn't think of doing: idolatry, witchcraft, murder, drunkenness. We despise this kind of conduct, and maybe we even have a little trouble loving the individual that's involved in them. We need to love the person, but sometimes it gives the sins are so offensive that we have a little trouble separating the sin and the sinner. So we will want no part with that. But what about a desire to for a little praise for our effort, all the efforts that we put forth maybe in some project or something? We like a little praise, or we like to be recognized by society. Luke 18, remember the parable, two men who went up to the temple to pray. The one was filled with the desire for vainglory, and he was not justified. So we need to be careful that we don't desire vainglory. We need to be careful that we don't do things that would irritate our brother. And envy is mentioned. Envy doesn't seem so bad at first, you know, a little envy. But let it grow, and it will. It will grow until it becomes a monster that can destroy us. So I think if the inspired word mentions it again at the close of this chapter, we need to take heed to it. If envy or any of these undesirable fruits are part of our life, remember, this is the year of Jubilee. We can get rid of it now. When we have the God as our Lord of our life, we can have rest. Exodus 33:14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Psalm 23:2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Psalm 116 is a testimony of one who found God real in his life, the difference it made when he called on God, and we can experience that difference also. And we have just a few minutes. Maybe we'll turn to that. Let's just read this psalm. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from the tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." So I trust that each of us are experiencing the freedom that is possible to us today. And if you're not, remember, this is the day. This is the year of Jubilee. So the Lord bless each one. And next time you stumble over your children's tractor, maybe you can be reminded of the freedom that we can have in Christ. May the Lord bless.